window that trombone shot, though?
It's Flicks and That with Steve Newell.
Steve Newell.
Afternoon.
Howdy, howdy.
Howdy, howdy.
Howdy. Howdy.
Are you safe in your bubble, boy?
Is there a comma at the end of that sentence? Or?
Oh, it's kind of like a movie reference. Not that I've seen that movie, but...
I am safe in my bubble, yes. And part of our new life, part of our new old life that we're experiencing this week means that the viewing I'll talk about today is slightly less heavy than last time.
Okay, great.
Well, I mean, that was a fun segment, wasn't it, last week?
It's just real life shit, you know? It's good that people document it as well, and that's the power of films, really, isn't it?
Oh, no, we're talking about it.
Just reflecting on last week, yes, Woody Allen was pretty heavy, but I did go and watch your other recommendation, which was, what was that, I Care a Lot?
Oh, yep.
That's funny.
It was good. It was really good.
John hasn't seen Gone Girl. Yeah. Definitely go watch that. It's a blockbuster.
Oh, yeah, get in. Get in.
Should I read the book or should I just watch the film?
Watch the film at all times.
Yeah, just watch. You could, I mean, reading's underrated, but...
Anybody out there reading the book while they're watching the movie and just kind of like trying to like keep up or slow down? Or how does that work?
Is it like the old, like in the olden days when you'd have a child's book and an audio tape and hear the turn the page now noise?
You got it.
Oh God! Audio tape. I'm old. Hey, let's talk about things to watch, not things to read and pages to turn, because that's probably someone else's segment. There's some stuff that's been timed well for Auckland's lockdown this week, and there's some stuff that's been timed not so well. In the latter category, there's an excellent New Zealand film about to open elsewhere in the country this Thursday. We'll have to wait a tiny bit longer, hopefully just a couple of days. But it is a film made by two women directors called Cousins. It is adapted from a Patricia Grace novel, and it tells the story of three Māori cousins who are separated and spend their lives trying to connect with one another. Hmm. This is a beautiful, beautiful movie. Which kind of jumps around in time periods. The three cousins are portrayed by different actors across three different time periods, and there's a lot of kind of leaping from location and period and back again. It all kind of works like, it reminded me of how our own sort of memories work, like it jumps around like your brain does, so there's a sort of a poetic rhythm to this film. It does tick off some heavy stuff, sorry, I probably... am already going against what I promised the segment would be, with a bit of focus on how Māori kids were basically ripped from their families in the mid-20th century and treated pretty shittily. It's quite a moving film. I did have a cry. I saw it. It was one of those films I saw in a screening in the morning because it's part of my job, but then I had to go to work and have a meeting, and I'd been crying, and that was real cool. So... hey, look, it's nowhere near as heavy as the other thing we're talking about, but this is a very moving New Zealand film, and I urge you to track down Cousins and go to see it as soon as we are able.
Yeah, obviously moving if it's bringing tears to your eyes.
Look, it's got humour in it too. It's got a real sense of...
I like when I'm half having a cry and then a funny bit happens and you kind of snap out, but you're like, oh, gosh, this movie's great, you know?
Yeah, well, luckily, one of the actors and cousins is Rachel House, and she's always guaranteed to, even just like her being a bit rough as guts, will cause a chuckle.
Sweet.
So that's definitely helpful on the levity side of things. But really, this film's all about quite a moving journey and acted by great performances.
Cool.
Let's not rub it in that that's a movie at the movies, though. Let's talk about some stuff we can watch at home this week. And this fantastic piece of timing, TVNZ recently got access to a whole bunch of shows from the Adult Swim catalogue. So you can have a hoon over to TVNZ On Demand and watch a bunch of kind of absurd animations and that sort of thing. But the one that I think is really great for this week is kind of the opposite of those. It's a show that is languidly paced. It is unlike anything else that you're likely to find to watch this week. It's called Joe Pera Talks With You, and it is a man who might be, like, maybe in his early 30s, but dresses, talks, and thinks like a much older chap. And he spends his show talking down the camera and introducing you to a bunch of concepts and explaining his very kind of slow-moving, slightly surreal life to you. Like, there's a, you might watch a 10-minute episode about ordering the perfect breakfast or how to grow a garden arch of beans. And this all sounds a bit like something you'd watch on in the olden days on TV One on a Sunday afternoon, but it's got a really strange humor running through it.
So it's,
and a good sense of melancholy as well. A
couple of weird things here. It kind of looks like a young Woody Allen. Also, it sounds a sort of a version of Lisa Key, which is something I was recommending to you guys a while ago on the Come Down.
There's sort of an emotional arc to this show that, from what I've heard about Come Downs, this might get a bit too melancholy at times.
Okay.
But it's really nice kind of pacing, and they've got two seasons of this up, so you can start on this and go, it's a low commitment because the episodes are so short. But you probably find yourself watching a bunch of them in one sitting. Joe Pera Talks With You, and it's bloody awesome. I'm so glad we actually have a legal way to watch it in New Zealand.
How does Adult Swim get stuff like this? Is this like a YouTube guy that they've sort of plucked out and gone, here you go, Justin Bieber, you know?
Here you go, Justin Bieber. That's a great question. One of the producers of the show is another comedian called Connor O'Malley.
Yeah.
His persona is, like, couldn't be further away from Joe Pera's. He is loud, aggressive, quite like an embodiment of sort of the most ridiculous kind of toxic masculinity. So he's at 110% the whole time, while Joe is maybe somewhere between 12 and 15% energy levels. But O'Malley's had a bit of a run on in underground comedy, and I think he would be on Adult Swim's radar. They've run some interesting little one-offs from him as well. So I think these are guys who are sort of known in the community that feeds into Adult Swim.
Cool.
But sort of aren't at that sort of full half hour of television or feature film level yet.
Has he appeared in any films? Because I recognise him, or have I just seen him pop up?
Sure. Joe Pera, you've probably seen him. It might just be a popping up scenario. This is really his sort of first
early Woody
vehicle.
Allen stuff.
It might be the case that you've seen him on a talk show, or someone sent you a clip from the show because.
Or it was Bill Gates.
You know, like, it is.
You just saw
it's
Bill
pretty
Gates.
Pretty good. So, Bill Gates jumping over a chair is not a million miles away. There's a great episode of the show where Joe Pera hears Bubba O'Reilly by The Who for the first time.
Oh, man.
And we can all relate to that, you know, like, it's like that song is, if you heard that for the first time in the year, well, anytime in the 21st century, I don't know how that would happen, but if it did, it'd be like, what is this?
It keeps coming back to Woody Allen, doesn't it, somehow?
In that episode, he hears the song once, has a great reaction to it, and starts ringing radio stations first to find out what it was, and then ringing around all the radio stations in his town to get them to play it, and just like ends up listening to Bubba O'Reilly over and over and over again, while like bouncing around his lounge, kind of like Bill Gates jumps over a chair.
Yeah, rad. Now, Steve, is there anything else that we need to check out?
Yeah, a couple of things to think about for the weekend. They haven't quite arrived yet, but once you've watched every single thing that you can get your hands on over the next couple of days, Neon have a show called 000 that is a few days away now. This is an 8-episode series that is about a 5-ton shipment of cocaine that's going from Mexico to Italy. This is a globe-spanning coke thriller series, which is pretty awesome. And it follows three quite different stories. There's the Italian mafia who are buying the shipment. There's a mafia boss who's going to use it to kind of glue together all the disloyal factions of different gangs and make everyone rich and regain his power. Of course, it's not that simple. There's the cartel and the grubby cops who are working for them, who get the thing out of Mexico. And then there's the brokers, a family from the United States, who are kind of gluing the whole deal together. And it's pretty interesting to watch a crime thriller that sort of jumps between all those different points of view. That's a few days away from now. And also, just in my inbox today, I haven't watched it yet, but I've just been sent a screener of Coming to the numeral 2, no, Coming to America, no. The sequel to Eddie Murphy's Coming to America.
No.
That arrives on Prime Video on Friday.
I watched the trailer.
I'm really looking forward to it.
I know you are. It's just... Oh, man, he's playing heaps of characters again. He's at it again. Well, the good thing about it is Wesley Snipes is in it. I'll give him that. And he's playing the baddie.
Well,
isn't
that, I reacquainted myself with the trailer again after receiving that email today, and I can't wait for more Snipes. He was so good opposite Eddie Murphy and Dolomite Is My Name.
Fuck, he was wicked, hey?
That was really
like,
good.
They were both rad in that film, but Snipes was just this
that's a good movie.
You know, energy up to 1,000% or more, I think, in some of those scenes. And he is definitely in scenery-chewing kind of villain mode here. So, look, who knows? I take your point about Eddie Murphy playing all the characters. The original Coming to America was probably where that compulsion really began.
Off, yeah.
I think it works quite well in that film. Like the old guys
at the
barbershop work quite well. His kind of the aged lounge singer in that film works quite well, and he and Arsenio Hall have a really good time, obviously getting the rubber faces on and doing that. So, look, there have been a lot of bad Eddie Murphy movies since. So hopefully this one at least kind of balances those two parts of his very strangely trajectoried career.
It looks fun. I'll give him that.
Hopefully. And hey, look, by Friday night, it might be exactly the sort of thing we're all needing.
All right. So I've never seen Coming to America, so I need to watch it, basically.
Yeah, you should. You should.
Yeah, because this will be the annoying thing where this film will just be, I'm sure, just littered with callbacks to the original. They've gotten a huge amount of the original cast back. But yes, it will definitely... I don't know why you would watch this movie if you hadn't seen what is no doubt a vastly superior first film.
There you go.
Surely this can't be better than the original.
Well, this
film.
New one won't be able to be as like brash and sort of borderline racist and stuff. They probably have to be a lot more careful now.
There'll be a bit of that, but I think having rewatched Coming to America recently, there's definitely some stuff you wouldn't do now. Mm-hmm. But there is a because it's never really mean spirited, and trading on the fish out of water scenario of incredibly wealthy African royalty being in New York, the kind of sort of like, I guess, the type of bumbling and misunderstandings that go on, they aren't really punching down in a way that you might suspect from the outset.
So in a sense, in this new one, they go to
it's
Africa.
Its tone lets it get away with a bunch of stuff that, yeah, you wouldn't do it now, but it's not too cringy, I don't think. And yes, in the new one, this is introducing an heir to the throne, a son that Eddie Murphy's just found out about, and bringing him to Africa to prepare him for his life as a royal. Hey, look, we'll find out.
Sounds relatable. Keen.
Ain't it just?
All right, Steve, we'll check in with you next week, hopefully in person.
That'd be great.
Cheers, man.
All right, enjoy watching lots of stuff. I'm gonna.
Bye.
See ya.
Real auteurs use star wipes.
That was Flicks and That on 95BFM.